Okay, Regina, are you ready to start again?
I am ready, yes.
I'm planning on taking questions. I'm sure there are many questions right now. But I want to cover as much material as possible, and then we'll do questions at the end. So let's get back to the subject here. Another difference between the two movements is Barton's Stones movement did ordination of ministers, but Alexander Campbell said that's not in the Bible. And so the unification between the Stone and Campbell movement was not easy. But in general, the philosophy of Campbell's movement became the dominant one in this combined movement. So, like I said, Campbell taught that you could analyze the Bible almost like science. And he wanted to find the facts in the Bible. His approach to analyzing the Bible was to look for commands, examples, and then required demonstrations. Commandments,
examples.
And he believed that you could answer any question by simply analyzing the Bible and the commandments. Very famously said, where the Bible speaks, we speak, and where the Bible is silent, we're silent. And the Stone Campbell movement is strong on doctrine. The average member knows their Bible very, very well. But they're weak on principles. And it tends towards legalism. So here was the important point in this movement. Were they going to be a unity movement or a restoration movement? Because all these men and women we've been talking about were very strong on creating unity in the church, but also on restoring New Testament doctrine. And it's very, very difficult to do both of those. So, were we going to be a unity movement? Or a restoration movement? Well, the answer is, by the end of the 19th century, this movement divided. Into what became the Christian Church and the Churches of Christ. The Christian Church emphasizes unity over restoring. For them, doctrine is important, but unity is even more important.
Pour même, doctrine était important, mais unité était plus important.
in the Church of Christ, doctrine is more important and unity is less important. And one of the bad parts of the history of the Churches of Christ is they tend to form smaller and smaller divisions. Over doctrines that seem such so unimportant to us. So how are they going to maintain unity if there's no denomination? If there's no creed, if each church is independent, they maintain unity through the colleges that were started. Many different Church of Christ colleges. And through the periodicals, through the magazines that they created. So over time, this group had problems with unity. They had a very strong teaching of congregational autonomy. But some thought that cooperation was a good idea. And so the ones that believed in cooperation became the Christian church. But the other group says, no overarching organizations. Every church is independent, completely independent. That became the Churches of Christ. Some of the other areas of division involved the Civil War in America. Because there were churches in the South and churches in the North. But during the Civil War, the Stone Campbell movement remained united, which was a miracle. One of the big arguments, which we think is pretty silly today, is over whether you could have musical instruments. And many preachers said, oh, in the early church, they didn't have musical instruments. So I said, if we have musical instruments, then we're not the New Testament church. And the church divided over this unimportant issue. The Church of Christ said, no instruments. The Christian church says, that's not important. So eventually the two groups divided. By 1906, there were two separate denominations. Generally, the churches in the North were the Christian church. Generally, the churches in the South were the Church of Christ. Generally, the more wealthy members were the Christian church and the more poor members were the Church of Christ.
Donc les plus pauvres faisaient partie de l'Église de Christ, donc les plus riches faisaient partie de l'Église chrétienne.
The more educated people were the Christian Church, the less educated people were the Church of Christ.
Donc les plus éduqués faisaient partie de l'Église chrétienne, donc les moins éduqués faisaient partie de l'Église de Christ.
In 1906, there were 200,000 in the Church of Christ and 1,000,000 in the Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church. Yes, and 1,000,000 in, no, 200,000 in the Church of Christ.
Church of Christ.
200,000. And 1,000,000 in the Christian Church, yes.
In 1906, again, 200,000, were part of the Church of Christ.
But,
1,000,000 in the Christian Church.
Generally, the Church of Christ was more divisive. They had a strong emphasis on autonomy of the churches. Their church government is based on elders, not on evangelists or ministers. A man named David Lipscomb was a great leader, and he became known as the father of the Church of Christ.
David Lipscomb, yeah.
He started Lipscomb University and other universities. And he was very strongly emphasized correct doctrine. And the Church of Christ began to split over what would seem to us to be very minor issues. For example, in the Bible it says, after supper, Jesus took the cup. So they said, only one cup. You could only have one cup. But others said, no, you could have many different cups for the Lord's Supper. So one branch of the Church of Christ says, no, just one cup. Another branch says, no, you can have many cups. And they would divide over this silly issue. They divided over premillennialism. And many other divisions. That leads us to the history of the International Churches of Christ. By the 1960s, the Churches of Christ had 2,000,000 members. As did the Christian Church. The Church of Christ was very conservative in their theology, in their doctrine. And even conservative in their politics. They were strongly anti-communist. The Christian Church was more moderate in their approach to doctrine, more willing to have unity.
Focus on unity.
and eventually a liberal wing of the movement was created. They're known as the Disciples of Christ. And they basically said doctrine is not important at all. And they became very liberal in their thinking. They're part of the Stone Campbell movement. But they also became influential in the ecumenical movement, saying everybody's a Christian. Ecumenical, in other words, all Christians are just one. Now, I want to talk about the ICOC. But first, I want to give some conclusions. First of all, unity is harder to maintain than we think. We could have a strong hierarchical structure, but we don't want to have that kind of structure. How do we maintain unity without a strong denominational structure? Another important lesson is, how are we going to separate the important essential matters from the less important matters and still be unified? And we need to think carefully about what is our theology. What is the proper church structure? How will we have cooperation without a strong structure? So let's talk about the ICOC. The ICOC began from a movement in Florida in the 1960s. In the 1960s, the Church of Christ began to start having campus ministries at the various universities. These were not evangelistic at all. They were trying to keep the members of their churches faithful. So they offered Bible classes. Because the Church of Christ members began to go to the state universities, not just the Church of Christ colleges. But then in the 1960s, under the influence of a man named Chuck Lucas, they began a thing called the Campus Evangelism Seminar.
Campus.
they propose that we should use some of the methods of the evangelical movement to evangelize. And they also taught that the Holy Spirit is active in the life of a Christian. This produced an immediate and strongly negative reaction in the churches of Christ. A strong negative reaction in the churches of Christ. They said, we can't learn anything from the evangelicals. And nobody's going to talk about the Holy Spirit around here. But anyway, in Gainesville, Florida, Chuck Lucas started a campus ministry.
Chuck Lucas a commencé un ministère de campus
at the Crossroads Church of Christ.
Na Crossroads l'église de Christ.
And he began to use the methods of the evangelical campus movements.
Il commence à utiliser les méthodes que évangéliques utilisaient dans le mouvement.
They had a strong emphasis on evangelism. And they started Bible groups on the campuses. Chuck Lucas called them soul talks. And they had what they call prayer partners. We would call it discipling partners. Now the Church of Christ emphasized doctrine, yes? But Chuck Lucas said we need to emphasize both life and doctrine. So they began to teach repentance as an important part of salvation. And holding each other accountable to living holy lives. They began practices that are familiar to us, like double dating. And one-on-one discipling. The Crossroads Church of Christ began to grow very, very rapidly. They had more than 200 baptisms in 1 year. More than 500 students in one church. More than 70 soul talks at the University of Florida. You had a church with mostly young people. This was so unusual in the Church of Christ. There in Gainesville, Florida, a number of well-known people were converted. Tom Brown, Kip McKean, Sam Lang.
Tom Brown, Kip McKean, Sam Lang.
and many other names that you would recognize. And Chuck Lucas personally trained these men and women. And campus ministers began to go to many churches of Christ in the United States. In Boulder, in San Diego, in many other places. More than 50 campus ministers were trained in Gainesville. They became known as the Crossroads Movement. And they had a seminar every year called the Florida Evangelism Seminar. I remember driving 2,000 miles to go to that meeting. Now the churches of Christ, they were famous for using Acts 2:38. Almost every sermon, they'd mention Acts 2:38. But the cross movement was known more for Matthew 28:18-20. Go make disciples of all nations. And the Crossroads Movement was strongly persecuted on campus, mainly by evangelical Christians. We were called a cult because of our strong discipling. But the Crossroad Movement was also persecuted by the Churches of Christ. Many Church of Christ denounced the Crossroads Movement. And yet many in the Churches of Christ said, this is the best thing that ever happened. So now, by the late 1970s, there were maybe 30 different Crossroads Movement churches. But here's what happened. Almost all of these churches eventually divided. Because you had these young, fired up disciples, but the rest of the church was not so sure about that. The elders tended to defend the older members. But the campus ministers tended to defend those fired up young Christians. So almost all of these churches divided. Then in 1979, Kit McKean, who had been fired, he was a campus minister. he was very, very successful. He was in Illinois. But he was fired when the church divided. But then, an important moment in the movement was when he went to Boston. That was
1979.
I have no idea what happened, but he was hired by a church with only 30 members. And they didn't have a preacher, so he became the main preacher. The church had been dying. It was the Lexington Church of Christ. So Kip was able to convince the elders there, Bob Gempel and Al Baird, let's do an experiment. Let's have a church which is only disciples. So we won't have two different groups, one that's really committed, the other one that's more like the old Church of Christ. And this decision was very, very successful. Because they didn't have to deal with these members that were not sold out for Christ. But it also created a problem. Because now you have a church where almost every member is less than 30 years old. And one of the big strengths of the churches of Christ is deep Bible knowledge. But in this church, there was not a lot of Bible knowledge, not really. And Kip McKean developed the attitude of the evangelist leads the church and the elder is not so important. But the church went from 30 members to 1,000 members in just like 5 years. So the center of the movement was no longer in Florida, now it was in Boston. No longer were we the Crossroads movement, now we were called the Boston movement. Kip made a very, very important change in our way of studying the Bible. The Church of Christ said, where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we're silent. Kip McKean said the exact opposite. The exact opposite, yes. Complete opposite.
Who said Kip?
Kip McKean.
Oh, Kip McKean said,
he said, where the Bible speaks, we're silent. But where the Bible is silent, we speak. Both agree that the Bible chooses what's true. But the Church of Christ said, if the Bible doesn't authorize it, then you can't do it. But Kip said, but if the Bible doesn't say we can't do it, that means we can. So this movement was much less legalistic than the Church of Christ. And they didn't call them prayer partners anymore. Now we call them discipling partners. And it was a more vertical relationship. Like discipling was like a pyramid with the preacher at the top of the pyramid. People began to ask, oh, who's your discipler? In other words, who are you submitting to? So it wasn't prayer partners, it was a discipler, and that's an important change. But Kip had a number of very positive changes as well.
Kip did faire des changements positifs.
In 1982, they began to plant churches. And emphasize world evangelism. The Crossroads movement was focused primarily on campuses in the United States. But Kip said, we need to win the whole world in one generation. He rejected the idea of church autonomy. And created a strong hierarchical organization. Hundreds of people went to Boston to be trained by Kip. And like I said, now we, instead of being the Crossroads movement, now we are the Boston movement. At this point, the Churches of Christ and the International Church of Christ became two completely separate movements. Before that, we had been working together as one church. An important moment was in 1987. And Kip said, either you're with the Boston movement or you're not. He said, if you're part of the Boston movement, then you need to send your leaders to Boston and we'll take over your church. And then, but during this time, churches were planted all over the world. The growth was amazing. In 10 years, it went from maybe 10,000 to 100,000.
dans 10 ans, il était sorti dans 10 000 jusqu'à.
And.
And turning from 10,000 to.
To 100,000. And Kip developed the idea of the first principles. Not so much deep Bible study, but everybody has this very basic knowledge of the Bible. But then in the year 2001, there was a sort of a rebellion, I guess you could call it. The world sector leaders became impatient with Kip's authoritarian style. And Kip McKean was told, you're no longer the world evangelist. So the very strong hierarchical structure basically collapsed. And this was helped by a letter written by Henry Crete in
2003,
where he criticized some of this lack of biblical knowledge and the hierarchical structure. And much of the funding of the churches disappeared. And many of the missionaries came home to America, and a period of chaos began. But gradually after 2005, we began to create a unity. But a unity based on cooperation rather than a hierarchical structure. So let me make a few proposals and then I'll open it up for questions. I think some things we've learned to reject from Kip's movement is legalism and works orientation. We've rejected the very, very strong hierarchical structure. We've allowed for more church autonomy. So the church in Haiti decides what's going to happen in Haiti. And we began to emphasize the importance not just of evangelists, but also elders and teachers. But there are some great things that Chuck Lucas and Kip McKean helped us to have, which I think we should continue. A world vision. An emphasis on evangelism. But also an emphasis on personal discipleship and holiness.
Et tout accent sur
And a strong inter-church fellowship based on relationships.
Et avec, relation entre l'église, accentuée sur relation entre l'église.
So, next week will be our last class.
Semaine prochaine, notre dernière classe, non?
I'll talk about the Pentecostal and charismatic movements.
On parle de mouvement pentecôtiste avec charismatique.
If I have time, I'll talk also about Mormons and Jehovah's Witness and other groups. We'll have our last quiz next Saturday. We plan a full hour for questions and answers. Don't forget your final assignments are two. First is you have to turn in your journal from your reading of the two books. Just complete the journal. We'll give you credit simply for turning it in. So really you're getting credit for reading the two books and just for keeping some notes. And the other assignment is to write a paper, roughly 5 pages. This is not a research paper, it's more of a reflection. An area that we studied that you find interesting and important to how we do church today. Okay, so let's have some time for questions and answers. Maybe in the chat or maybe raise your hand.
Mais nous pas ouais ça bon Dieu fait dans ce que ça nous fait qui c'est plan salut. Deuxième question c'est sur keep marking. Donc et dans toute présentation que nous t'ai qui fait pour l'IA, par contre j'ai la saisie tout samedi. On va attendez et approche qu'il est étudier la Bible là comme le fait un chrétien est-ce que c'est David l'icône de père l'église du Christ est-ce que c'est lui même qui t'ai étudié avec monsieur père là père l'église du Christ est-ce que t'ai étudié avec lui et qu'il est keep marking, mouvement de profin. Est-ce que mouvement de profin, je veux dire, est-ce que devenir disciple, mais qui a devenu disciple? C'est des questions obligées, merci.
Hey, Junior. Bon, pile bagay. On commence ma première question, hein. Et qui a un rapport avec Walker Scott, qui est un gros évangéliste, qui parlait de cette étape salut, cette étape de salut, nous avons trois là-dedans, qui ont un rapport avec nous-mêmes, et deux qui ont un rapport avec sa bonne Dieu fait. Pour que ça, dans l'Église du Christ, nous parler de simplement de salut, et tout notre rapport avec nous, ça que nous faisons nous-mêmes. Pour que ça que nous pas gagné, que le plan ça n'a pas inclus sa bonne Dieu fait. Est-ce que ça, c'est une question à moi? Mais deuxième question, il y a un pour avec l'équipe McKean. Autant de tout ça que l'équipe McKean, l'équipe, on va avoir écouté que le palais, que l'équipe devine chrétien, et qu'il est exactement que le mouvement n'a pas fait. C'est correct?
Oui, et qui est-ce qui est étudié avec lui? Est-ce que c'est David et Père l'Église du Christ qui est étudié avec lui et qu'il est mouvement n'a pas fait? Oui, c'est ça, merci.
Ok. Okay, thank you. Hi, John. We have two questions from Junior.
Good.
The first one has to do with Walker Scott. Walker Scott was a big evangelist. He talked about the... Can you hear me? He talks about the five step for salvation.
Right.
Three of them has to do with us, and two has to do with what God does for us to obtain our salvation. Why did in the Church of Christ they talk about the five plans, the five steps of salvation, and all those five steps have to do with what we do. How come we do not include what God does for our salvation in the five step of salvation? The second question has to do the first one. Okay.
Yeah. Because the Church of Christ emphasizes what we do rather than what God does.
Parce que l'Église du Christ là plus accentue sur ce que nous fait, non pas sur ce que bon Dieu fait.
That's a weakness of the Church of Christ.
Ça c'est faiblesse de l'Église du Christ.
It is no accident that the five-point outline of salvation changed.
C'est pas un accident que cinq plans de salut ça a changé.
Because the Church of Christ is focused on humans in some ways.
Parce que l'Église du Christ focus sur l'humain, non en façon.
It's a, somewhat of a work salvation idea.
Les paraît comme un salut que ou idéologie de salut qu'on travaille pour lui.
And Alexander Campbell did not emphasize the role of the Holy Spirit very much.
Alexandre pas accentué sur le Saint-Esprit.
So it's no accident that that formula changed.
C'est pas un accident que formule ça a été changé.
And I think the ICOC inherited some of that works orientation in our approach.
Je crois que ici aussi, approche de travail pour ça, ça.
But I like to think that we're now changing in a better direction, and we certainly emphasize the Holy Spirit more. That's for sure.
Et moi, je crois que nous changer, nous prenons notre direction et nous certainement accentuer travail au Saint-Esprit.
Okay, the next question was about Kit McKean, yes?
Yes, Kit McKean. When did he study the Bible and become a Christian, and when did his movement ended? And who exactly studied with him? Was it the pair of the movement?
It was Tom Brown who studied with Kit McKean, I believe.
Okay. Je crois que c'était Tom Brown qui était étudié avec Kit McKean.
I believe it's either 1975 or maybe 1974.
Je crois que c'était peut-être 1975 ou 1974.
And Randy McKean was also baptized at that time.
Randy McKean était baptisé tout dans temps ça.
He also became a campus minister.
Et aussi venir minister campus.
So
I would guess 1975. But if you told me 74, I could believe that too. He's my age. So he was born, I believe, in 1955.
What, in 1955? Oh, he was born in 1955?
Yeah. And so he was 20 in 1975.
Je pense qu'il était fait en 1955, il était gagné 40 ans en 1975.
Anyway, I believe it was Tom Brown who studied with Kit McKean, but I'm not sure.
Il croit que c'était Tom Brown qui étudiait avec Kit McKean, mais il n'est pas sûr.
Tom Brown started the campus ministry in Colorado, and I was baptized in Tom Brown's campus ministry.
Et Tom Brown a commencé campus, ministère de campus là, dans Colorado, et John Oaks a baptisé dans le campus ministry Tom Brown dans Colorado.
Tom came there in 1976.
Who came there in 1976?
Tom Brown, 1976.
Tom Brown est venu en 1976.
So I'm guessing probably it's more like 1974 for Kit McKean. What was the other part of the question?
When did his movement end? The Kit McKean movement.
It didn't. We're still part of it. But first of all, the movement was not started by Kit McKean. The movement was started by Chuck Lucas. This idea that Kit McKean started our movement, that's not true. It's so untrue, it's almost like a lie. Kip did make some significant changes to our movement, that's for sure. Very significant, actually. The need for world evangelism. The commitment to have a church where everybody is assumed to be a disciple. But also the strong vertical arrangement of discipling. Those all came from Kit McKean.
Arrangement vertical de structure, et tout ça est sorti de Kit McKean.
But his movement didn't come to an end.
My movement n'est pas devenu pas tout à fait.
But he left his own movement. Because he wants to be the head guy. He's not willing to work under somebody else. So if he could not be the head person, then he said, that, fine, I'll leave and start my own church.
Parce qu'il n'est pas capable, chef en mouvement, il dit qu'il a quitté, il va commencer l'autre église.
So that's what he did.
C'est ça qu'il fait.
And he found a church in Oregon that would let him do that.
Et lui, j'ai l'église qui était dans Oregon, qui était quitté, il fait ça.
That was in Portland.
C'était dans l'État, Portland.
But even eventually, the church in Portland got tired of his methods.
Eventuellement, l'église a devenu fatiguée avec méthode Leo.
So they sent him away. And he moved to Los Angeles to begin his own movement.
Et il est allé à Los Angeles et il a commencé un autre.
But number one, it wasn't Kip's movement.
Numéro un, c'est que les pas du mouvement de Kip McKean.
And number two, that movement has not ended.
Et numéro deux, c'est que le mouvement n'est pas fini.
And you're a part of it.
Et aussi, vous faites partie du mouvement.
But Kip no longer is.
Et Kip McKean pas fait partie du mouvement. Encore.
Next question.
Next question. Danny, do you still have a question?
Ma pose question là après moi Jean Joël.
Ok, merci pour tout. Merci John pour classe là et puis merci Regina pour Jean Widino. Question que j'ai, hein, c'est l'Église du Christ dit que n'a pas l'écouté Bible en parler et n'a fermé bouche non côté Bible en pas dit rien. Et l'équipe venait lui dire qui fait dit le contraire. Dans cet instant, ma petite réfléchit pour moi. Est-ce que ça le dit, hein? Est-ce que position Kip là, pas fait sens par rapport à au fait que si Bible en parle, c'est normal pour nous-mêmes nous pas gagner pour nous dire parce que Bible en c'est lui-même qui c'est la voix de Dieu. Maintenant, si Bible en pas dit un bagaille, ça veut dire si Bible en pas bail directive qui est claire et spécifique sont ces deux issues. Est-ce que c'est pas normal pour que nous-mêmes qui en tant qu'église pour nous dire OK dans tel aspect mais qui j'en voulais organiser tête nous sans que pour autant nous pas aller à l'encontre de parole là. Exemple. Bible dit que par exemple l'église internationale du Christ je vais mettre sous pied un mouvement comme si Mdado pour chrétiens sorti entre eux. Ça, c'était un fameux mouvement. Tout le monde connaît que les chrétiens sortis, gens ça encouragé, gens ça inspiré. Et un pile monde marié par voix ça. Donc, ça, c'est pas Bible qui dit c'est comme ça le préfet. Donc, c'est leader qui pensait, OK, qui ça nous a fait? Il dit, pour l'encourager chrétien, pour qu'il y ait des relations qui sont qui peut devant bon Dieu. Donc, dans ce sens, moi, que, il y a un côté Bible n'a pas parlé, pour moi-même, moi, elle fait sens pour nous bailler chrétien objectif. Donc, on devrait regarder qui ça, John, t'as qu'à dire sur ça.
Ok. Ok, nous parler de côté l'Église du Christ, c'est quoi ça que côté Bible en parler, nous fait silence, côté Bible en fait silence, nous parler. Et Kip McKean, lui-même, est venu avec idéologie opposée de ça, et il dit côté que Bible en parler, côté Bible en parler, nous parler, côté Bible en fait silence, nous parler.
McKean. Kip McKean dit qu'au début, Bible en parler, nous-mêmes n'a fait silence.
Et tel que fait silence,
nous-mêmes n'a parlé.
Okay.
Yeah. Pour moi-même, comme si moi, c'est un bail qui fait sens, parce que si Bible en parler, c'est fini. Tout le monde juste besoin d'obéir.
Yeah.
Maintenant, si Bible en conseille de issue, il n'est pas clair sur eux, il n'a pas nos directives spécifiques, c'est normal en tant qu'église, qu'on nous garde qui gens, nous qu'à organiser tête, nous, pour nous qu'à quimper, pour nous qu'un bé, on voit qui correct devant mon Dieu. Donc, on devait regarder qui ça, John, pensait de ça.
Ok. Thank you. Merci. John, ok. your question has to do with, the ideology that, the Church of Christ has where it says that where the Bible speak, we, remain silent. What the Bible speak, we speak. What the Bible is silent, we are silent. Right. But yeah. Kip McKean did the total opposite of that.
Yeah,
what the Bible is silent, how we speak. So in that sense, it leaves it to the church to decide on certain aspects, certain issues and problems that exist in the church. For instance, with dating, right? The Bible does not speak on dating, but the leaders, the churches decided on how that is done. So what directive, so that the leader chose and decide what to do in that sense, what the Bible does not speak, we try not to speak. So can you give them some directives on that aspect?
Sure. Yeah.
That aspect where the Bible does not speak that we...
First of all, let me explain that a little bit more carefully.
Okay.
The Church of Christ says where the Bible speaks, we speak. Kip McKean said where the Bible speaks, we're silent. It might sound crazy, but they mean exactly the same thing. Both of them say, whatever the Bible says, that's what we say. In other words, when it says, where the Bible speaks, we're silent, that means we just let the Bible speak. The other one says, where the Bible speaks, we speak. They say the same thing. Whatever the Bible says, that's what we say. It's in the second half where it's very different. The Church of Christ says where the Bible is silent, we're silent. In other words, if the Bible doesn't authorize it, then we don't do it. And Kip says, no, where the Bible is silent, we speak. In other words, where the Bible doesn't make specific statements, then we can do pretty much whatever we want. I disagree with both philosophies, actually. Whether we say where the Bible speaks, we speak, or where the Bible speaks, we're silent, it's the same thing. We agree on that. Where the Bible speaks, that is authoritative, and we have no business adding or subtracting. But where the Bible doesn't speak specifically, it provides us principles. And just because the Bible doesn't address a certain issue doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. For example, the Bible doesn't prescribe this structure for the church.
For example, Bible pas bayon scripture pour l'église.
So like I said, we need to think carefully using biblical principles about how to create a structure that would be healthy.
Et faut nous penser avec un peu de prudence comment que nous nous créer une structure qui bon, qui en santé.
But when Kip said, where the Bible is silent, we speak, basically saying we can make pronouncements and we can tell people how to do things.
Côté Kip dit, les Bibles en fait silence à nous parler, c'est que nous sommes capables de faire de... Nous pouvons prononcer des choses, nous pouvons montrer au monde comment on peut faire des choses.
So how do we decide what to do when the Bible doesn't provide an exact rule or a law or a commandment?
Comment que nous décidons que ça peut nous faire? La Bible n'a pas besoin d'une exacte règle ou bien commandement.
Well, we have biblical principles.
Nous gagnons un principe biblique.
We can learn the mistakes and successes from church history.
Nous sommes capables d'apprendre des erreurs.
We can apply human reasoning and experience.
On va appliquer raisonnement humain avec expérience.
And doing that, some things maybe are not a good idea, and maybe they're not Christian.
Et pendant qu'on fait ça, il y a des choses qui ne sont pas bonnes idées ou bien qui pas bibliques.
So where the Bible is silent. We're silent tends to create division and legalism.
Il est que la Bible en silence, non silence, ça a tendance à créer division avec légalisme.
But where the Bible is silent, we speak gives too much authority to human beings, including Kip McKean.
Côté Bible en silence, nous parler, ça baille trop autorité avec être humain, inclus Kip McKean.
Because I believe where God does not speak directly, he speaks indirectly.
Parce que je crois, côté que bon Dieu pas parler directement, il parle indirectement.
Through biblical principles.
À travers des principes bibliques.
And through the Holy Spirit.
À travers Saint-Esprit.
But also through church history.
Et à travers l'histoire de l'église.
So you use the example of dating.
Vous utilisez l'exemple de dating.
The Bible doesn't prescribe dating, obviously, because they didn't even have dating.
La Bible n'a pas prescrit comment pour moi faire date parce que il va gagner ça.
So does that mean we get to decide what the rules for dating are?
Est-ce que ça veut dire nous si vous décidez qui règlement méthode pour nos dates?
I think rather than having rules, I think it's better to have principles.
On pensait que au lieu pour nous gagner un règlement, nous supposons gagner un principe.
The Bible gives us many principles we can apply to dating.
Le Bible nous donne plein de principes que nous pouvons appliquer quand il s'agit de dating.
And based on those principles, we have established some practices that we generally suggest, but these are not rules.
Et basé sur principe ça, on établit des méthodes pour nous dater, mais c'est pas.
Because when the Bible is silent, because when the Bible is silent, we don't speak. We apply biblical principles.
Parce que la Bible en fait silence, ne va pas parler, nous juste appliquer des principes bibliques.
OK. Next question.
On prend l'autre question?
I have only 10 more minutes, by the way.
Il y a 10 minutes encore.
OK. Bonsoir tout le monde.
Oh, we can't hear her, can we?